Alma is a woman who sometimes is a little tiring to be around. I've never known anybody who had the enthusiasm for just anything that Alma has. She's the only person in the world that could make me think, well, it's a day worth living because they've got broiled tomatoes on the menu for breakfast. And for a woman who has been every place and has seen everything and has done whatever can be done, she still goes on every one of her adventurous trips with the feeling that, oh, this is so marvelous, and I know it's going to be the greatest thing I've ever done yet. Now, that is a tremendous capability, to be able never to lose your enthusiasm. Now, her dedication and commitment to the mission of our denomination is not to be questioned. But I'm not just talking about, you know, her zeal for her job. I'm saying that she just never quits. And that she can be as excited about taking a cable car up to see the top of the Schilthorn as we did last summer, as she is about just anything you might mention. So that it seems to me that this woman has been able to draw together in her life as the leader of WMU some of those most marvelous experiences because she has given all of herself to them. There has been no way for her to do more than she has done. There has been no way for her to be more affectionate, more concerned for those with whom she works, for those that she has any kind of contact with. There is no way for her to have done more than she has done. Because I have marveled from time to time at how in the world her physical strengths held up under all of these activities. Because it's wild sometimes, I'll just tell you. And so, this has been a fun thing, Alma, for me to be able to do tonight. To recognize some of the ways in which you've touched my life in these last years. And in the ways in which you have had an impact upon the women of the Southern Baptist Convention that we cannot begin to evaluate or assess. We love you so much, and we appreciate you so much. And when it comes to judging you, all we can say is, the Lord being our helper, we could do no more than to say, she has done her job. We love you.
Alma Hunt, to appreciate, to evaluate the worth, quality, significance of, to cherish, treasure, value, that could almost set the music. To recognize with gratitude, to judge with heightened perception. After 27 years, I still have a question in the southeast corner of my mind. We used to talk about it in bull sessions in New Ely Dormitory. Who were those men in Alma Hunt's life? Well, I decided to dig back in history, and there's a 16th century love song that just might fit this occasion. I'm not real sure. I hope it does. It's called My Lovely Alma. It dates from 1623. That was a little before you flourished.
My lovely Alma, heavenly fair, as lily sweet, as soft as air, no more than torment me, but be kind, and with thy love, ease my troubled mind.
Was it Lynchburg?
Oh, let me gaze on your bright eyes, where melting beams soft arise. My heart's enchanted with thy charms.
Get this line now.
Oh, take me, dying, to your arms.
Still judging with heightened perception, her pastor, Lamar Jackson, Southside Baptist Church, Birmingham, Alabama, than which there is no whicher.
Thank you, Marie. It's certainly good to see you. Been a member of our church now for about 8 years, and I think I've seen her on 2 Sundays since.
Now, you rascal, some of these people don't know I live in Waco. You tell them.
And if I recollect correctly, those were the 2 services in which we had invited her to be the pulpit guest. In October of 1948, Hermione and I came at the invitation of the Inslee Baptist Church to serve with them here in Birmingham. And in that self-same month, Alma Hunt came to Birmingham to serve through Woman's Missionary Union, her Lord, throughout the world. Imagine this august personage within 3 weeks after moving to Birmingham with her pastor, Dr. John H. Buchanan, and his wife, leaving the Southside Baptist Church Sunday evening service early in order to beat it across town about 7 miles to stand in the reception, in the receiving line. To stand in line in order to come by and tell a freshman pastor, welcome to Birmingham. She stole our hearts that night. And it is a parable for every pastor and every church throughout the land. Each of these has a place, a big place, in her heart. In June of 1957, when the congregation of the Southside Church invited Hermione and me to come and serve with them, I was not surprised when I learned that Alma was on the pulpit committee. But the next conclusion that I drew was that she had seen to it that the Southside Church got the pastor's wife they wanted and took whoever her husband happened to be. So for 26 years, we have been close friends. And for 17, we have been pastor and lamb. She wrote me a letter one time, having been on one of her great missionary escapades that kept her away from town about 4 weeks. She enclosed a tithe in the letter. That always gets absolution. for me to drop in to plate for her. She confessed where she had been and what she had had to be doing, and she was so sorry she hadn't been able to get to church for a month, and all the places she had been, and closed her tithe, and then signed off, your little black sheep. I called Thyra Fitzgerald down to office and got Alma's next address, and pinned her a note and put it airmail, special delivery to get there fast. And I opened it, my dear little lamb. Then when Marie came to us 7 or 8 years ago, the two of them came in. You know, they're always together. You can't say a thing to one of them but that the other one overhears. You ask one a question, the other will answer it. It's like Siamese twins. And here came Alma and Marie together, and I greeted Alma as my dear little lamb. And immediately it connected with something over here. I must think quickly and get a term of endearment for Marie. She's heard me, and so Marie ever since has been my little black sheep. You know what I mean, those mischievous dark eyes and black hair. Alma, I'm just glad that you are retiring while you're still so beautiful and so young and so energetic, and before you become my little gray sheep. Now, when Marie called me about a word or two, she emphasized this, but she said, just tell us, I asked her what she wanted me to do. She said, just tell us about some meaningful moments. And as she always does, when you get the program, you realize what she really wanted you to do. She didn't know back there when she called me. Some meaningful, Marie, if you had attended church more often, you would know that the Lord himself said that we are not to judge lest we be judged. Meaningful moments with me, with Reverend Stalma, have been two. Those centered in and around and through the local church. That's where the action is. And if there isn't a rule, there ought to be one, that no one can remain in the employ of a convention, agency, or auxiliary unless that person is active in and faithful to his local church somewhere. Now, I've seen Alma, and we've had our most meaningful moments in worship. She's there for Sunday school. She's even a member that comes to prayer meeting whenever she is in town. She gives me her itinerary so I can remember in my prayers when she's out of the city. She sends and brings her tithe to the church. She's the only member of our congregation who serves on the church council without benefit of an office that places her on the church. She is the at-large member. I've seen her come to preaching on Sunday nights when she has been on a speaking schedule for 2 and 3 weeks, arrive in Birmingham at the airport at 4 o'clock on Sunday evening and come to the evening preaching service without ever having gone by the house or the apartment to change whatever girls go by the house to change. Around the church, in the church, through the church, we wouldn't have a Woman's Missionary Union Auxiliary nor a Southern Baptist Convention to have auxiliaries for or to except for dedication in and through the local church. The other area in which we have had significantly meaningful moments is in the home. Sometimes in her home, beautifully appointed. Oh, when Marie and Alma were living together here. Have you ever seen that Mycenae? Is that it? A connoisseur of beautiful things, yes. And a gourmet cook. Exotic dishes I've eaten with my feet under Miss Alma's table. Ranging all the way from those kind down to one time that was when I was their yard boy for a day. We even had turnip greens and onions. Sometimes at our home, she called us up one night. So what are you doing? I said, just wanting to have a long talk with you, Alma. Where are you? I'm at the airport. I just flew in from California where I bought 2 loaves of sourdough bread. Are you really not busy? I said, not too busy to talk to you, Alma, if you got some sourdough bread on your arm. Come on by. She came by, and in the meantime, Hermione had gone to the refrigerator and pulled out 2 whole pounds of the blue cheese that Alma's longtime Roanoke and Birmingham friends, Dr. Ms. Joseph Dixon, had sent over for Christmas. And Alma and I sat there at the table, Hermione without her gallbladder, enviously looking on. And Alma and I sat there. We sat there eating sourdough bread and blue cheese longer than you've been sitting at that table. Now, that's a long time. Alma loves to eat. She said, tell you about Daddy. Daddy lived with us the last 10 years of his life. And if there's anything Daddy loved, it was a beautiful, handsome woman. So we would invite Alma home, sit across the table from Daddy so he could feast his eyes. But Daddy loved to talk. Daddy loved to talk. Alma would sit there Sunday noon, and she'd tell us about her most recent events that had taken place on her most recent missionary sojourn, so animatedly and so vivaciously and so interestedly. After she'd leave 2.5 or 3 hours later, she was a puzzlement to Daddy. Daddy would sit there flabbergasted. He couldn't figure out how it was he could sit there 2.5 hours and not get in a word edgewise. Now, Daddy was one of those men, kind of like I felt at a point or two tonight, I felt sort of like I was a male chauvinist in a women's liberation movement. Daddy was sort of a male chauvinist. He never could figure out and ask me repeatedly why in the world Miss Alma hadn't gotten married. Of course, he didn't know about that orthodontist up in Roanoke. That high school principal. Tell you the truth, I don't know too much about him. We've talked about nearly everything under the sun, but somehow or other, every time orthodontia or high school principalship enters the conversation, she blushes her most maidenly best and starts stuttering, and she is, at that point, at a loss for words. But Daddy worried because she never had gotten married. And one day it came to him like an inspiration. Alma had just suggested that if it'd be all right, she would be pleased to have a biscuit. And as I recall, that was about biscuit number 6 or 7. And after the meal was over and we had said goodnight and Miss Alma had driven off, Daddy came into my little study and he said, "Son, it has dawned on me why Miss Alma has never been married." And I said, "How is that, Dad?" He said, Why, any man that ever saw her eat a meal would know he'd never be able to afford a grocery bill." That chair's getting mighty hard, isn't it? Of course, when she comes over to our house, or we go over to her house, after we sit at the table this long, we always take a 5-minute break and then come back and talk some more. So I'll just close. I tried to find a word or two that would describe her, and nearly every speaker got up tonight, who has gotten up tonight, has just stolen more of my thunder. But they saved me one. I thought they were going to give it away when you came, made your entrance. I thought that they had me ruined there. Do you remember the song they played when she came in? I was down at the 2600. I never can remember that address. 600. 600 20th Street. Well, I just hesitated to say the headquarters building. That isn't good Baptist parlance. No. I was down at one day, and I heard some of the staff personnel. I think it was Bernie Elliott. She didn't know I was in the office there. She came in, "Chief, so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so." Chief. That's what they call. That is, that's what they call Miss Hunt in her presence. Chief. And it reminded me of a verse, of a statement that our Lord made. Something to the effect, over in the Synoptic Gospels, "Whosoever would be chief among you, let him be the servant of all." She's been and is faithful servant of Jesus Christ unto us and millions like us around this world.
Where is woman's place? What is the mystique of a woman? A woman's status is what she makes it. Her place is where she finds it, or where she seeks it. Her mystique is her own, her individual selfhood. Woman is whatever, wherever, and whoever she wills. Alma and I are proud to be women. We're glad to be women. And gentlemen, we're here to stay. And Alma Hunt is not retiring from living, but she is here to stay. Botticelli's Venus, perhaps the best known sculpture of woman in all the world, shows a very strong outline, a soft figure, but firm. Altogether, his Venus is an image of grace and beauty, both real and unreal, both in the world and out of this world. And my 3-year-old Amy says, "Isn't that Alma Hunt a sight?" And now it is Alma's turn. Thank you very much. What could one say after all that has been said here tonight? Wealthy indeed would be an individual who, after having served 25 years, would have one such word of commendation spoken as each one of you has spoken this night. Surely you know that I feel most unworthy of all that has been said. I came into the denomination at a wonderful time. Reference has been made to what had gone before. The year 1948 has been called many times, and those of you who are old enough to have been in the denomination in 1948 will recall that it was a wonderful year when the call for advance was accepted by Southern Baptists, and truly, we started in advance in all areas of our denominational life. Certainly, I cannot claim it as anything personally that I have done that caused the great growth in Women's Missionary Union during those years. I feel that I came just at the time to reap the harvest of those who had laid wonderful foundations before. Tonight in this room is Miss Juliet Mather, who was one of those who had helped to lay those foundations. I thought when I saw her tonight, in fact, I told my niece and her husband that this person I always blamed for my being here at Women's Missionary Union. For 13 and one half years before I came, about every 6 months, she must have had a calendar note, about every 6 months I had a letter from her asking me to consider resigning from whatever I was doing and studying so that I might become a WMU worker. And after 13 and a half years, when I walked in, I said, "Juliet, be careful what you pray for. Here I am." Yes, my life was greatly influenced by the WMU leaders in that year and the years before when I was a YWA particularly. My life has been greatly influenced by Women's Missionary Union. I believe in Women's Missionary Union because I believe in missions, and I think Women's Missionary Union gives women an opportunity to do in missions what we could not do in any other area of our church life. If I did not believe in it, I would not have stuck so long, for believe it or not, I've had some opportunities to do something else as the years have come and gone. However unworthy I am of all that has been said, I am grateful for the love in your hearts that prompted you to say all of these things. I wondered when Arthur Rutledge got up how he could possibly find anything else to say, for at an appreciation dinner at the Home Mission Board, he had expressed so beautifully his appreciation in behalf of himself and the Home Mission Board for my years of service. But you see, I told him he'd be so tired of me by the end of this year he wouldn't know what to do, and already he's been called upon twice. Now, Becca James Cawthon, you're going to have to make another one, so keep your notes on this one, you see, because there'll be another time. I have a feeling that I will almost fear to go to work on Monday morning, for I know that I am not in the eyes of my co-workers what they have heard you describe me as tonight. And so I'm going to be afraid to make a move for fear I will not be the person that you have made me to be this night. I thought about midstream, you know, a funeral service in this day is mighty short, and it's awfully good to have this long time while I live for all these things to be said, because now it could be ever so brief, family. When it comes to the end, just a few words. All have been said that could be said. I'm grateful for the opportunities the Lord has given me. Claude sat here tonight and said that he remembered Dr. Ben's great gift in helping others to find their places and undergirding them in developing so that they could take advantage of the opportunities that came. And Claude knew, even as I knew, that I had the benefit of this in the early years of my upbringing and the early years when my interest in the denomination was growing. I think I came to Women's Missionary Union with a deep love for missions and for the Southern Baptist Convention, largely because he had given me that. And so I look back tonight to all the people who have touched my life. There are those here tonight from Roanoke, in addition to my family, who have always undergirded me. There are others in this room tonight. Dr. and Mrs. Dixon, who gave the blue cheese that we enjoyed with the sourdough bread. Mrs. Dixon grew up in my church in Roanoke. There are those who represent the William Jewell family here tonight. Both Claude and Dot Nelson was in that area in those days when I was there. And then so many who were here when I came, you, the resident members of the board at that time, and you who were serving in the official family of Women's Missionary Union when I came, the friendships that have lasted through this quarter of a century are too numerous for me to make mention of. There are those secretaries who have retired who are here tonight, those I worked with in the early years of my labor. George Uding is here, and he said when he came in that Alabama hadn't had anything so big as this since the last time we played football. And so I believe that it is about the biggest occasion certainly that I can envision taking place in Alabama. And Claude said, you know, I never saw so much Baptist brass under one roof in all my life. Oh, I am grateful to all the Baptist brass that responded to the invitation has come to make this such a wonderful occasion for me. Now, of course, you know, every one of you, because every person here is a leader. And you know that no leader achieves alone. Any progress that has been made through the years I have been here has been as the result of the labors, cooperative labors, of co-workers, the board members, those who've stood tonight, you've seen them, these are our co-laborers today, and the members of our staff who stood along with them, the employees at the headquarters building, what we do at 600 North 20th Street, and that is the address, Brother Pastor, what we do at 600 North 20th Street could not be done by me alone. It is a work that is shared by all of those who stood. And of course, in the position which I have held all these years, no one person is such a close co-worker as is the president of Women's Missionary Union. And so, Marie, I want you to stand with me while I say to this group of people that through the years, whatever progress you may find in the statistics that have been reported here tonight, or whatever you may read about these years in the life of Women's Missionary Union, I would want you to remember reverently Mrs. George R. Martin, who was the president when I came to Women's Missionary Union. And then my next co-worker, who tonight stands by my side, Marie Mathis, came into office in 1956 and was our president till 63. Then Helen Fling, where are you, Helen? Will you stand, please? Then Helen Fling came to the presidency of Women's Missionary Union, and Marie succeeded Mrs. McMurray and came to our staff as promotion division director. And because Helen and Marie had known each other so well back in Texas years and then later in Women's Missionary Union, we became a threesome. And certainly any progress that is accredited to me tonight for those years should be divided by three, in addition to all of this support that we had from the board. And then when Helen felt that she had to become a missionary, Dr. Rutledge, you took her away from us. She had to become a missionary and give up Women's Missionary Union presidency. Our nominating committee turned again to Mrs. Mathis and brought her back. And so I've had now this second very, very happy term of co-laboring with Marie Mathis. And what has been said of me tonight, you ought to feel mighty good about, because you deserve half of it. The commendation must be shared. All my days I shall cherish the memory of this night. No, Porter Ruth, I'm not planning to pass out. I'm planning to keep my hearing best I can, meet you when we have our centennial. Like old generals, you know, we don't die, we just fade away. Now, let's see, Dr. Cawthon, you said there are 8 secretaries of the Foreign Mission Board. We've done better than that. We haven't had but 4. I am the 4th, and I'm planning to hang around a lot longer. I am not planning to retire from mission interest, mission work, mission endeavor. And Lamar, I never hope to retire from my church life. With all my heart, I'm grateful to you for coming. So grateful for those of you who have traveled, some of you quite a distance, Miami, Florida, other places in Florida, all around the country, you've come. Thank you for the love that brought you here. It is a love that will bind my heart to yours always. And now I have to remember I'm not retiring. I still have 8 months of hard work to do, and it's going to be hard to get down to the grind next week. But remember me, that I'm on the job.
Monday just morning. Don't close the service and stand here just a few more moments. I can understand why your daddy talked about her talking, and he couldn't get a word in edgewise. I was scared to death she's going to lead you in a closing prayer.
talking about my granny.
Oh, it was my grandmother that talked about my talking. One time she scrubbed my cousin and me up and took us to the next farm to visit a neighbor who had a relative who'd come home from the north to visit. And the relatives looked at my grandmother and said, "Miss Ludy, you have nice little grandchildren." And my granny said, "Yes, they're nice little girls. Edith will amount to something, but Alma Hunt will just talk herself to death." All right, that's the truth. But wait a minute, Claude, you need to hand me something around here, and you just keep on standing by my side. My hand is a symbol of her 25 years of service. This is a beautiful silver plate, and on it is engraved the building, Pastor at 600 North 20th Street, Birmingham, Alabama, and the dates of her service with us. This tonight is given to you, Alma, to keep in memory this occasion and the many expressions of love and gratitude. Pretty extravagant, some of them. You're right. It would have been a good funeral service. And you know, it has been recorded, and we could just play some of it back. Isn't that the prettiest thing you ever saw? This is the first time the building has ever been engraved on silver. Mm-hmm. Now, in addition, I want our friends to know that Woman's Missionary Union has furnished Alma Hunt's apartment with brand new furniture. Beautiful furniture. I wish all of you could see it. It is a gift to her to express our love. And in addition, we are giving her a brand new Buick four-door car. We decided on it just before the energy crisis broke on us. If it had broken a little earlier, we could have saved a little money and bought you a Volkswagen. But this furniture, this Buick, and a trip to Stockholm, where she will be attending as a vice president of the Baptist World Alliance. And you didn't think for a moment, Dr. Hargroves, did you, that Woman's Missionary Union wouldn't send her. We're sending her to that meeting of the Baptist World Alliance Congress, where she will represent us as a woman vice president. What a woman. And we're so grateful that we can do these things for you and show our love. Now, Pastor, you outdid yourself. And I think you better come up here now and try to make up with us and lead us in a closing prayer. May we stand together. And please come by and speak to us. And here are some keys. And if you've lost yours, we have one set of keys up here.
Bless us now, O Lord, as we go our several ways and give our loved ones strength for many years, and all of us the grace we need to be of maximum service for thee in thy kingdom work. For Jesus' sake.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. With praise, with our
we have been revived.